Can you hear the music? You can hear it. That's awesome. A lot of people can hear it. For some reason. I don't know
it's
why.
It's probably because I'm on my computer.
Yeah. This song gets me right fired up. Get into it. This part. All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that intro outro music. You know, find him everywhere on the socials. He's you know, just doing his own thing, not really a following, but doesn't really care. He just, you know, shredding guitar and doing his own thing. And you know, this week on the podcast, you know, I'm really excited. You know, we got Hunter at you know, aka Some Welding Girl, the host of the 4% podcast.
How's it going? Hi, good. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm good. I'm just hanging out here. We're, you know, 1 week down of 6 weeks off work, you know, just healing up over here, you know, a busted ankle and a super rare injury with a dislocated, they call it a talonavicular dislocation.
That's and, fancy.
Oh, yeah. You know, the doctor nerded out medically on me. Like, it was, he's like, in 30 years, I've never seen that. That's so cool. He's like, I don't know how this is going to work, putting it back. I'm going to sedate you. And then I came to, and he was standing there smiling like, dude, that was so cool. That was so, you know, and, you know, so, like, hey, it's good. Good to be, you know, like, hey, I'm glad my injury and my pain can bring you some comfort, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty neat. Yeah, we're moving, you know, right along here. You know, last week we got into Women in Construction week, or I think it's a week long thing, but, you know, it's more than that. You know, it's like Mental Health Month. You know, it's all the time. Women in Construction Week, it's all the time. So, you know, we're moving right along here. We had Steph the Smudger last week. And here, you know, this week, Hunter, what's up?
Not much. Just hanging out. Glad that it's finally the weekend, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be on shift right now. I work for 21 days at a time or so, and then I fly home for a week, or this time off I think was supposed to be 12, but hey, you know what, I'll take 6 weeks over 12 days. Let's do it, you know.
Yeah, I've been on 40 hours for a while, and I'm not complaining, especially with how cold it's been and everything. I'm not like dying to be out there working like 70 hours in the freezing cold. So yeah, but I have some shutdowns coming up in a couple months, and I'm also like taking some time off coming up in March, so I'm really excited for that, just to like do stuff around my house. But still,
hell yeah. Where are you from? You're out east somewhere, aren't you?
Like, I'm in Michigan. Yeah, Michigan. So yeah,
I'm from Ontario originally. I'm just above you.
Yeah, we're like neighbors, kind of.
Yeah, we're neighbors. I'm from Toronto originally, you know, just outside of Toronto. And yeah, you guys, it's kind of cold out there. I'm in Alberta. I'm out west, right? I'm out way north.
Yeah.
Way west and way north. And, you know, we're you know, that minus 50, minus 40 shit. And, you know, out this way, you're on the Great Lakes. So, you know, people don't understand that are from here that have never been out that way. Minus 20 on the Great Lakes is like minus 40 with like super high winds.
Yeah. Right?
It is shit. The wind out on the Great Lakes is shit. You know, back home when I'd walk to school, minus 20, minus 25 would feel like hell. Yeah. Right. And I could work all day long in minus 40 with no wind and be super comfortable. Right. So, yeah.
I'm ready for spring. But we're getting there. We're like finally at the end of it, I think, is why I'm just finally so sick of it. And we've like had teasers, like yesterday was like 50 and sunny. And so we're like getting there, but you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, out here as well. You know, last week was minus 40 and today was plus 9. So, you know, it's and you're in Michigan, so you're dealing Fahrenheit, you're dealing them freedom units. We're dealing in Celsius, right? True. So minus 40 and minus 40 Fahrenheit, minus 40 Celsius is the same. Yeah. They meet up and they're the same for a little bit, right? I just hit my ankle off this leg thing here, so that's cool. But yeah, no, I think we're on our last little, you know, winter's got its like last little bit of its claws into us here. Having said that, we're not even in March yet. That's tomorrow. And, you know, it's, there's probably a couple days left of winter, but like, you know, she's, she's pretty cooked at this point. And I remember, you know, being in Ontario, just above you there, you know, come mid-March there, you know, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt already, you know, like I remember playing ball hockey with friends, you know, mid-March back in the day. And yeah, like here, no, you guys don't get winter until, you know, sometimes December winter doesn't creep up. Right. Where here it's like,
yeah, awesome, literally. You know? Yeah. All the men on site are already wearing t-shirts too, and I'm still like in my bibs every day, full coat, like the whole shebang.
Yeah, absolutely. So some welding, how long have you been welding for? Like, you know, what do you have?
I'm a journeyman pipe fitter and a pipe welder. I actually only started welding 3 years ago, but I've been a pipe fitter now for 6 years. So I worked alongside welders and, you know, as a fitter and a fire watch when needed, when I was, you know, going through my apprenticeship and learning. And I don't know, I saw the welders and I was like, that's really cool. I think that's what I want to do. And I ended up learning. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's brought me a lot of opportunities and stuff with social media, I would say, as well. Like, I've got to go down to Texas to Tulsa Welding School on a TV show and stuff. So,
badass.
Yeah, it's been really awesome. A lot of opportunities I wouldn't have expected joining the trades, I guess.
Yeah. What would you do before you got into the trades?
A little bit of everything. I mean, I went to college for nursing and I ended up dropping out. I also went a little bit for like business and marketing. And I also studied a little bit of like graphic design, which it all ties into what I do now. I never thought it would. But before I was like, I quit my job delivering pizza to become a pipe fitter apprentice. But there was a point in time that I had 8 jobs in 1 year because if I don't believe in doing something if you don't like it, like if it makes you miserable, I'm gonna quit that that job. Like,
you can swear.
Like, I'm gonna quit that fucking job. Yeah. Literally, I do not believe in doing anything that makes you unhappy because life is short. Like, we are all numbered on our days on this earth. So I got an apprenticeship and I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but the first day I loved it. I was like, I like this and I've stuck with it. I've been with the same company. Like, I finally have 3 weeks of paid vacation now. Like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick. Yo, I've been with the company I've been with for, I spent 7 years on a vac truck in the oil and gas industry, and the vac truck, you know, I've been in the oil patch for 13 altogether, and the vac truck 7. And I did it because, you know, we started having kids and whatnot, and, you know, it was hard, you know, and I just wanted a steady job, you know, cause like you, if I didn't like something, I didn't stick with it. I don't want to be miserable.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the vac truck was on call 24/7, covered in all the chemicals the oil field has to offer. And, you know, just, you know, not a good place to be. Right. But like, I needed to be there. And, you know, I started my content there. Right. So, you know, it helped me grow. Right. And so I stuck with it. And, you know, I didn't really realize how much it was stressing me out and making me hate a lot of things, you know, until I got out of it. You know, the last year or so, I really knew, okay, I need out of this. I need to figure it out. And in the summertime, I build roads for whatever. And I was getting ready to go back to the back truck in September. And the boss I have now, I met him on TikTok. He's like, hey, man, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, just sitting here, wrapping this job up, getting ready to go back to the back truck. And he's like, come work for me this winter. So I'm like, all right. So what's, you know, I asked him the details and whatnot. He gave me all the deets, the money and everything like that. And within an hour, I signed the offer sheet. And, you know, like two and a half weeks later, I was out on site. And, you know, the bar wasn't set very high, but I do love it. I do love it a lot more. You know, it's more my style, right? I have an actual schedule. Before 6-7 weeks at a time, I was gone. During the pandemic at the very beginning, it was 6 months. And, you know, now 20 days, 21 days. And then I come home for 10, between 7 and 10 anyways. And, you know, they fly me in and out. And, you know, the typical thing is, you know, you've got to wait your 3 to 6 months to get your benefits. But like, I was like, man, I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, I have kids and shit like that. Here, I had benefits for the last 7 years. You know, my daughters, you know, they're still kids. Shit happens. He's like, oh yeah, man. He's like, we'll kick your benefits in right away. Right. So I was like, okay, fucking that's kind of what I'm looking for. All right, sweet. So, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, yeah, I love it. And then, you know, I had to make it a last minute emergency egress, I'll call it. And, you know, all my training for the last 13 years in the oil field came down to what happened here. And it was honestly like, yeah, I'm like, oh, this is going to hurt. But like, it's either this or the alternative, and the alternative wasn't better. I'll tell you that much. Right. So,
yeah.
You know, the training, you know, you got to remain calm and whatnot. And it's like, oh shit, it's just going sideways right now. All right. And I got the fuck out of there. And, you know, best case scenario, I would have got out with maybe a scratch or whatever, you know, no one wants to get hurt, but here we are. So yeah, whatever. But, he said to me the other day, he's like, man, he said to me, my boss, and everyone else that did the investigation for this, they all said, we read the incident report. He's like, everybody agrees they would have done the exact same thing. So, you know, like it all came down to the last 13 years, right? And thinking, you know, wow, you know, I never use my training. You know, I'm never in these situations until you are.
Right? Yeah.
And that's huge.
I'm so very fortunate that I've never like had to like witness really anything. I will say my first year there was a dude that got like a very severe cut, and like he was literally off work for 9 months from it because he had cut into so many tendons like irreparably in his arm. It was bad. Like I've never seen someone almost pass out because they've lost so much blood, but I was like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, you just never know, and you just have to be careful. Like, really, at the end of the day, you got to look out for your coworkers and look out for yourself.
Hell yeah, definitely. You know, that's, wow, 9 months. That's, wow. I, from start to finish, from day one till I'm back at work. Oh, I don't know about back at work, but completely healed up is 3 months total.
It's not too bad.
No. So 6 weeks until I can put pressure on the foot again. So I'm walking, and then, you know, however long after that of physio, right? So like, you know, the joint that, you know, it connects your foot to your leg, it dislocated. And I think when it dislocated and I'm like, oof, that don't feel right. And I tried to go take a step. I broke the bone because there was no ankle. There was no support there. Right. So and it wasn't a bad break. It wasn't a bad break. It's a hairline fracture pretty much. And, you know, which is, I got lucky, right? Cause I went down and that's it. I didn't try again. I still in danger. I had to crawl like 30 feet to get out of the way more. And I was like looking and I'm like, okay, whatever is happening here, my ankle's going to swell up. Cause obviously. And so I whipped my boot off and then I was sitting there playing with the bone that I could see, you know, the bulge I could see sticking. I was like touching it. I'm like, oh, that's weird. That's gotta be broken. Right. And then I waited for everything to settle down. Then I crawled back to get my phone before I could get back to the phone. Help arrived. So it was like, you know, oh shit, cool. And they didn't even know what was going on. All they saw was like a bunch of steam rolling around in the air. And they're like, oh, that doesn't look right. And they rolled in and like, oh, there's Dick. Right. And I'm like, hey, what's up? Yeah. And it was pretty, pretty wild.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, absolutely. So how old are you, Hunter?
27.
27, still young. So you were like 24 when you started welding. And
yeah, I was 20. I think I was 21 when I entered the trades, about to turn 22. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I definitely feel a lot more mature than when I started. I will say, like, as a young woman starting out in the trades, it can be, like, really difficult to be taken seriously, especially, like, I always like to tell the story that I had never like ran any power tools. Like they had to teach me how to change a drill bit my first day, like everything. My mom would not like, I made pallet art out of like old pallets. I would cut them apart and make signs and shit. My mom would make my stepdad cut them for me. Like she wouldn't let me use the power tools. She's dead now, but it's just like a whole, she would shit her pants, like literally, like, because it's just like, I kind of did like a whole 180 with my life. Like, nobody ever would have expected this for me. I never would have expected it for myself, but it kind of ends up being like what I feel like I was born to do in some ways, I guess.
Hell yeah. Like, oh, by the way, she's dead now.
She is. And that's part of, I like, that's also part of my story that I share, because she drowned in the ocean and I was there for it. Like, I also almost drowned. So it's like part of what got me to where I am. Like, it's what made me realize life is short. Like, I already had that kind of feeling, like, I'm not going to do anything I don't want to do. But it was like, I need to figure it out. Like, I need to, you know, like, it's me in this world. I'm taking care of myself, you know, like, so yeah, it's like part of my story, basically.
Did you see your mom drown?
Basically, I was like way deeper in the ocean than her. But like, I knew I was struggling, so I started like going back to shore and I couldn't see her anywhere. And my stepdad was like laying on shore acting like he was basically drowning at that point also. And then so I went back out because he's like, I think she's over there. And I like got to her and she was obviously not conscious, but I knew like there were like riptides and everything. And I knew like, even if I did get her, I have no like floaties or anything. I'm like, I'm gonna drown because I can barely stay above water myself right now. So I went back to shore. That rescue ended up getting her. I guess rescue almost gave up though, because like that's how bad it, like the riptides were and everything. And then she was pronounced dead at the beach, and then they resuscitated her. But it was like 3 days in the hospital of her.
Oh, your mic cut out. Your mic cut out.
At what point?
There you go. 3 days in the hospital, I think.
Okay. So she was in the hospital for 3 days, basically like just having seizures and brain dead. She was still alive. Huh?
She was still alive.
Yeah. Okay. She was. She had the only brain activity that she had was seizures. So that's like not a good sign. Yeah. Also, yeah. I'm kind of like, fuck this hospital, because I'll get into that in a minute. Yeah. But she also, I guess, had taken in like so much sand and everything like into her gut. Like they basically had to do surgery, but with the, like her condition and her like basically being brain dead, not being able to breathe on her own, they weren't able to do that. And so all my family flew down. I'm like the only child. So I was the one that like had to like make the decisions really, but they influenced me to basically pull the plug. Whether it was the right decision, I don't know. I can't dwell on that.
Oh, probably. He'd probably tell you it was.
What I will say is my stepdad, when you take on a lot of salt water, you get really dehydrated. So they're like, we're going to pump you full of fluids. And it was a teaching hospital in Florida. We were on spring break, basically. We went to the same beach, like this little retirement town every year, basically. But they just kept pumping him so full of fluids that, like, when I went and visited him in the hospital, he's literally just, like, swollen up. And they ended up, like flying him to the, like, emergency room in Michigan to, like, get him back right. So I always, like, kind of wonder, but I'm like, I can't dwell on it. Like, everything happens for a reason. And I truly believe it was like part of my journey to get me where I am now, like as crazy as it sounds.
Oh yeah. Is he still alive? You talk to him?
He's still alive. I talked to him a little bit, but I think that his trauma is a lot worse than mine because he was like right there with my mom when it happened. Yeah. So like, I also look just like my mom. I think that I remind him like a lot of her. Like, you know, we still like see each other like here and there, but that shit, like, it's so traumatizing. And it's hard for you to process. It's hard for me to process. I still like work on processing it. But I think that especially for older men, they do not like get the help that they need to process those things, unfortunately. Yep. And that's kind of like a big thing. Also, I'm huge on mental health, and me and a lot of the girls on my podcast have stressed it. Like, therapy is okay. It's okay to get help. Like in construction, in America, at least, construction workers are like the most likely to commit suicide after like our veterans and stuff. So yeah, so I like really push that. Like, I'm not trying to say like, oh, like be a pussy or whatever, but like, it's not, you're not being a pussy. Like if you reach out and get help, like it, just because we're in the trades and we're tough, like we still go through shit. Like,
you know, the manliest thing you can do is ask for help, right? Because, you know, that takes balls.
Yeah.
Right? So like the manliest thing you can do is ask for help when you need it, right? And like this year I've discovered that, you know, I've got some mental health shit going on from my, it was passed down from my dad who was going through it, right? I've got borderline personality disorder, and that is one of the most painful, I've come to learn, one of the most painful mental disorders you could have. Yep. And it stems from, you know, abandonment, trauma in your childhood, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it explains so much about me. And when I tell the story about my dad and the shit that, you know, I witnessed and got to be a part of and whatnot, it makes so much sense. I feel like I have a community, right? And, you know, I feel understood. Yeah, and it's pretty wild. And then, you know, it also makes me feel bad for my dad, right? Because he's part of a generation that couldn't ask for help.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, yeah, I also, like, I have to unpack all that with my therapist also because, yeah, my whole family, it's like, we don't have feelings. Mental illness isn't real. Like, you're fine. Just, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so that's how I was raised. And I'm, like, learning that apparently that's not normal. So, like... trying to like break those generational curses and learn like healthy habits basically with my mental health. And yeah,
absolutely. So you were talking about your podcast, right? And it's called the 4%.
Yep. So I created that last fall. I'm working on season 2 right now. I'm working on like editing and dropping that, but life is so crazy and busy. And I also just bought a house, but so weekly when I am dropping episodes, I bring on a different tradeswoman and we basically just tell her story. And what I really like about it is you get the perspective from all kinds of different trades and all kinds of different aged women. Like I have women who are 17 years old, like dropped out of high school early. I have women that just got out of prison, but have been in prison. Like we all have crazy different stories, but we all like have made our way. And the community is just really great. It's super supportive. Like I love my tradeswoman community.
Hell yeah. Why'd you call it the 4%?
Because so at least in America, 4% of workers in trades are women, like in basically all construction trades, essentially, which I'm like interested to see it change because it has gone up and I see it like I have a lot of influencer female friends that encourage women to join trades. And I've had a lot of women that message me and say, hey, I joined a trade. So I think with like the internet and it, and people, young women seeing like, this is something I could actually do. It's possible. It's not just men. There are women out there. I think that it's going to grow a lot in the next 10 years, dare I say, especially with, I don't know what it's like up north for you guys, but like our workforce is men over 50 pretty much. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of that. There is a lot of that. And you know, anyone under is really, you're hard pressed to find they actually want to work, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm getting there, you know, we're a couple of years away from 40 here, you know. So like I was raised a little different. You know, my dad was you know, my dad brought me to work with him. He owned his own construction company, and my dad brought me to work with him when I was 11, you know, and he forced it into me, right? He pounded the shit out of it into me, like, hey, I'm taking you to work and I'm going to teach you the value of the dollar and what it takes to earn it and you know, give you something to be proud of at the end of a work day, right? And so he took me there and, you know, I started making my own money. I think for the first couple of years he paid me $50 a day, but you know, at 11, 12 years old, $50 a day is a lot.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, I only worked on weekends and holidays and during the summer, right? So What do you got going on there? What are you puffing on there?
Nicotine.
Okay, nicotine. What's the flavor? Is it
frozen cherry apple?
Frozen cherry apple. Nice. Yeah. I don't vape, My wife takes, you know, a little bit of, I don't know. She's just kind of once in a while. I just got my very first, and this was like last week when I was laid up on the couch after it first happened. I just got a high CBD, little bit of THC vape. Right. And like, I discovered, you know, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if I'm doing it right. Right. So you hold it in for a minute and then blow out. I don't know. It felt weird. And you know, I tried to like suck it back and I got a weird taste in my throat. And then we tried a joint a couple weeks back. Never tried joints before. I tried a joint. The taste of burning paper is disgusting.
Isn't marijuana legal there?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's legal here too. Yeah, I ate like an edible. What time is it?
Did you say like it's illegal there?
No, it's legal.
Yeah, it's legal. Yeah, it's legal.
Yeah, I can like go to the store and even hell. Well, I guess I can talk about this because literally the test I take for work is a 9-panel. Like pop for weed and they're like, that's fine. Like, yeah. Like as long as you're not on like crack or heroin and don't smoke at work, and I'm like, fair enough. Like fair enough, they're like, we don't care what you do on the weekend. I don't drink either, so
if you test positive for weed, they usually do like a mouth swab, right? So it's like
No, like it's changed in Michigan because they know like people smoke and it stays in your system, so it's a urine test, literally like you would do. Like on most jobs, I work at government jobs and stuff. But yeah, I don't smoke at work. I'm smart about it. And I don't, honestly though, like in my opinion, like if I smoke the night before, it's not going to affect me the next day. But if I was to drink the night before, I'm going to be hungover the next day. Like I'm not going to feel good. So me personally, alcohol doesn't agree with me, so also for my PTSD and everything, I was at one time like given a medical card for it because
so you were saying you're getting ready for season 2.
I've been recording episodes, but I just need to like get on editing them, which really they don't take that much editing. But
how many episodes do you have per season? Like how many did you have in the first season?
I did 13 for the first season.
Okay. So are you gonna continue with that 13 per season then? Or
I think so, because I release episodes weekly, so that ends up being like almost 3 months, I guess, of episodes. So I like the way that works out, but we'll just see. It also depends on how busy I am. A major thing with season 1 was the holidays had come up and everyone was just so busy, like understandably, especially those that travel for work. They're taking time off. They're finally going to see their families. Like it just ended up working out better that way, basically. But I need to get on it. Like people were literally, I was going through my YouTube today and they're like, I miss these. Like, when are you going to make more videos? And I have, there's 4 that are like ready to be dropped, but I just need to edit. So this weekend.
I'm going to listen. I got, this will be episode 114 and it's just one straight shot. I don't do the season thing. I release an episode every Tuesday. So we're two and a bit years into her now, right? And not missing a Tuesday. And it's been, at times it's been hectic. At times it's been like shit. Like right now, usually I try to stay 4 to 5 weeks ahead, right? And you know, just, you know, right now yours is going out on Tuesday, right? Like, you know, with how the work was going and then the accident and whatnot. And, you know, I'm in the next few days here, I'm going to record a few more. So I'm going to be, you know, I'll get back to being like, you know, a couple weeks ahead. But also, you know, if I go too far ahead, you know, the shit becomes irrelevant what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So try to balance that. So
yeah.
Talking about Christmas and we're fucking, by the time the episode drops, it's, you know, Valentine's Day or something, you know?
I know. My first episode, it's the blonde welder. I'm pretty sure you've had her on here, but she was my first episode of my first season 2. So she's going to be the first episode of season 2 as well. But we were like talking about how TikTok was gonna get banned in the States, and now like it's fully been saved, and I'm like, I'm still gonna drop it, but it's just funny because I've just been so lazy on editing because I've had so much other crap going on. But
yep. Yeah, shout out to the Blonde Welder. She's been on mine twice now.
And she is awesome.
She's pretty amazing, you know. She is one badass. I don't know. Do I say chick? I don't. She's one badass chick, you know. She's so cool, you know. Yeah. And the first time I had her on, it might have been her first ever podcast that she was on, and you know, she didn't do too bad. It was not bad at all. She was a little quiet at first. There was a little fish tank going on in the back. You hear the bubbles, right, or whatever it was, or a water machine or something. The second episode, man, she was off to the races, right? And you know, shout out to her.
Yeah,
that's good. What's I don't know. What's the biggest guest you've had on? The biggest woman in construction.
Probably Miss Welds. I met her personally. We were on a welding TV show together. So I think, but also up there is Abigail Redman is her name. Daddy's Money is her handle, but she's super funny. She's a John Deere mechanic. And
Daddy's Money. I got to check her out. That sounds badass. Funny.
Yeah. I think those are some of the bigger creators. So I've really tried to branch out and make it so it's not just influencers, though. Like, I have some people who don't even like really have platforms because I want it to be super inclusive. That's kind of like what I want my whole brand to be about, is being inclusive for women, obviously, because I feel like sometimes it can be hard to find a safe space. Like, I'm in a lot of women in construction groups on Facebook and stuff, and they just end up like letting men in and trolls in, and it just, some of the women end up not being supportive. And I just, not that I'm a control freak, but I wanted to create like a supportive space where it's like, we all have different opinions. Like, we all have different experiences, but we can find common ground and like still be friends, basically.
Oh yeah, I love that. I haven't, you know, for the most part, it's been people that are, you know, have a platform, but there's been some people that don't, you know, like Leanna, right? You know, she's amazing. She did the whole, like, you know, she was a high angle rescue girl, and like she also breathe fire and shit like that, you know. And she has like no followers. She's like, hey, can I come on? She came to me. She's like, hey, I don't have a platform or anything, but I have to have something to contribute to your podcast. Fuck yeah, let's go. Like, why not? You know, like, that's badass. I love that. I love when people come to me and be like, hey, you know what, I don't think I have anything to contribute, but it's something I want to try. And it's like, well, let's go, you know. I'm in. Yeah. You know, and I'm always down. You know, there's a guy that I work with, his name's Leon, and you know, this is what I love about blue collar. You know, everybody's got a story, you know. Everybody's got a story. You're not just a welder. You're not just a framer. You're not just this, right? This guy's a vac truck driver, right? And he's Aboriginal and whatnot, but like, he's, you know, you look at him, you pass him in the hallway in camp or out on the street or something like that. You just think like, oh, you know, this is another vac hauler, whatever. Right. The guy's an actor, right? He does that. He does the vac truck thing to, you know, have a job when he's not acting, right? And he's like, well, have you seen The Last of the Mohicans? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I was in that. He's like, Outlander. I fucking love Outlander. He's like, I was in that show. And he's like, this show and that one. And there's one coming up here soon that I'm in. And I think that's so cool. You know, like, I would never have known that had I not stopped taking a minute to get to know him, other than be like, hey man, you're a backhauler, you know, like, what's up? Right. And it was, and then you sit there, and I do that with a lot of people since I started the podcast. Right. And I've kind of always been that way, but more so since I started the podcast. I want to dive deeper into just who you are. I want to know who you are. Right.
Yeah.
And I did that one time at a strip club to a stripper, and I podcasted the shit out of her. Right. And she's sitting there, boobies in my face, and she's just like talking to me. And I'm like, so why stripping? Like, what brought you here? How come, like, what did you do before this? You know? And, you know, she started telling me her whole life story and whatnot. And then you could tell, like, oh, this guy's not going to spend money on me. Well, you know, I got to go. You know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's the people you meet in blue collar are crazy. Like, I have one coworker, and he was a Syrian refugee, and he, like, his story is crazy. Just like telling me about, you know, they built houses in Syria and they have to basically be like bomb proof. But then I also have a coworker who's from Wales and he's retired now, but it was basically like the same deal. Like, he only welded, like, because he needed something to do, basically, and a little bit of income. But now he's, like, traveling, and he's YouTubing. And when I first met him, he's like, yeah, look me up. Like, here's me bounty hunting. Like, there's videos of him, like, bounty hunting on the internet. And I'm like, what the hell? And, like, people from Wales are so nice. They're, like, known as the nicest people in the world. So he's so kind.
Even nicer than Canadians?
Apparently, literally, they're supposed to be like the nicest people ever from Wales, I guess.
Jeez. Now I guess we're going to have a nice off with a guy from Wales, you know.
I don't know, because I think that America and Canada, like, at least Trudeau and Trump have beef right now.
Yeah, Trudeau and Trump do. Well, you know, honestly, the rest of Canada has beef with Trudeau, so, you know, fuck that guy. The tariff thing that Trump's putting on Canada, it wouldn't hurt that much if we didn't have 9 years of economic stalemate with Trudeau, right? Like, Trudeau, all the shit that's about to hit us, the whole Trump tariff thing is just an after effect, right?
Yeah.
9 years of dead economic activity, you know what I mean? And like, just stupid choices made by our government. It's like, you know what, like, it has nothing to do. We shouldn't even care about this tariff. But yeah, like, 9 years of Trudeau is just fucked us, right? So like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I don't really... I know, like, America is so torn on it right now, and my belief on it all, I really don't like to get too mouthy on it, so all I'm going to say is I think the people in power really like us to all be divided, and that 100%. If everyone was united, the world would be a fucking insane place. But
absolutely.
But it's all about money, so it never will be.
That's right. They all... You know, you see all these stop racism campaigns, stuff like that. The powers that be don't want you to stop racism. The powers that be want racism and hate, right? You know, like that. Because as soon as we don't see color, as soon as we can all come together and agree on almost everything, we don't have to agree on everything, but as soon as we can, you know, get along under the banner of uniting, the government's fucked.
Yeah.
The government's so fucked. And that's every government, everywhere. You know, like, it's... Yeah. It's not just a liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat thing, right? It's left wing, right wing, or two wings of the same bird, right? So like, it's, they just want you to believe that, you know, you stand for something, right? And you know, they don't stand for jack shit.
Yep.
Yeah, except for lying in their pockets, and that's whatever. It is what it is.
It's crazy. Sometimes I wish I was just like naive too.
Oh, no.
And I tried to be, but yeah, it's just not possible.
Absolutely. So there's another aspect to you too that you know, like, is pretty cool, you know, like, you know, the whole, and I've had Emma Stone. I don't know if you know who Emma Stone is. She's a oil field medic here in Canada. She is an accountant, right?
Oh, as, yeah.
That's what a college sells at accountants. You're also an accountant. You're like, you're an OF model, right?
And yeah, I have a spicy link, basically. Spicy
links. Yeah, yeah. So how'd you get into that?
Well, I basically like had Instagram and everything, and men sexualized the shit out of me anyways. And yeah. Miss Welds put it a really great way, because she's a super beautiful woman. She's married. She doesn't post like her body really at all. And men still sexualize her. And she came on my podcast and I really liked what she said, because she said, it is not anything you do. Like, these men were going to sexualize you no matter what. And that was honestly like why I started it, because I had a following and I knew a lot of women that made a lot of money on there. And I was like, you know what? I have the following. My family's already disappointed in me. Like, what at this point? And I don't regret it. Like, I've bought, you know, my first house on my own. And in America, I don't know the statistic for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's under 20% of homeowners are single women. And so that's an achievement in its own. So I don't like regret it. I do make real, that's a stigma, is like people are like, you didn't make enough money welding. So no, if you had the opportunity to double your income, you would do it too. Like if you were able, like, and so that's kind of the stigma. Like I make great money welding. I make over 100K a year, like at my job. I'm happy at my job. My people at my job follow me on social media. Like, it's not like I hide who I am, like, but I don't do that shit at work. I keep it very separate from, you know, but yeah, I don't regret it. I've been able to buy a house. So,
hey, you know what? A lot of people, people don't like, or people tend to attack what they don't understand, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, like it's, Emma said to me on that podcast, this was episode 6 now. I believe it was 6, 5 or 6. So it was like 2 years ago. She said, you know what? Like, one thing I want to point out is that consent is sexy, and I get to determine who I work with and what I show. I don't have to show anything, really. Right. And, you know, she was trapped in a house with her ex-husband. She couldn't move because life's too expensive. So she was living in the basement. How did she get out? She started an OF, a spicy account, and she got the hell out of there. You know, she made enough money where she could get out of there and live comfortably.
Right. Well, yeah. And that's also part of why I inspire women to join the trades. Cause I've had women be like, I want to leave my abusive husband, but like, I don't know like how to make any money. I'm like, join the trades. It might not be right away, but it's been 6 years now since I was a first year apprentice. I was making like 15 an hour, and back then that was pretty decent money. I mean, I had to have roommates and stuff, but still, like, you can quickly earn raises and everything in the trades. So
push your mommy. Yeah, my daughter's showing me a Pokemon card she got in a Happy Meal here.
Oh man,
she's 4. She'll be 5 in like a week, just a week and a bit. Yeah. She likes to come in here sometimes when I'm on the podcast. I'm doing it at home anyways. I usually do it. I'm on the road a lot, so I usually do it wherever I can, whether I'm up north in the bush or in a hotel somewhere and camp when I'm home. You know, I do it wherever I can. And, you know, I'm trying to record one with them now, one at some point. And I've been planning on it for, you know, a few months. Maybe this is the time. 6 weeks at home. Time to record with my kids, you know, make one with them. So.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's pretty badass. Is this where you do your podcast, like with the fern in the background?
Yeah, normally in my frame though, you can see all my dead things.
Oh, yeah. Did you taxidermy that?
No, I do have something that I taxidermied, but I won't show it because it's really scary.
Please tell me it's your mom.
No, it's a bunny. it was okay, and then my dog got a hold of it like right after. Yeah.
All right, yeah. So I'm trying to get I want to look for a taxidermist to have on my podcast at some point. I want to get into the topic of taxidermying humans.
Someone told me that they were going to do that to me one time.
Fuck, you should get it. You should let them do it. Like, you know,
it would be an honor.
See, you know, you really did become a lampshade, right? Like, that's crazy.
Oh my god, yeah, I love Ed Gein, he really is. He would have been great to have on the podcast.
Shit. Do you know what viscosity is?
No.
So it's the, you know, it's a fluence resistance to flow, right? It's a solids resistance to flow. So like on the rigs, on the drilling rigs, you know, they pump, you know, mud down hole, and they got to try to, you know, if it's too thick, they need to like, you know, make it less thick. And if it's not thick enough, they need to make it more thick, right? Viscosity. They gotta do that. Where I'm going with that is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman deals in the thickness of your load. You know, hey, you know what I'm saying? OF over here. You know what?
Slower. Can you say that slower?
The Mudman deals in the thickness of your load.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, you heard it there. That's right. You know, and yeah, sometimes it's not thick enough and sometimes it's too thick, you know, and like when I'm not thick enough, I got to go and eat more peanuts or something, you know, and I don't know if that actually does anything, but like, whatever, more watermelon or fuck, what's that fucking fruit? I don't know. Pineapple.
If you're allergic to peanuts, it does something.
No, damn, going into anaphylactic shock. Now's the time. Get on. Right? Like, shit. See, I can't afford a pump. I'm just going to, you know, be allergic to peanuts.
And I heard EpiPens are like expensive too.
Hey, maybe. I don't know what they're like in Canada. I don't know if the government covers them down here or up here.
Y'all probably get free ones.
Listen, it's not free. My neighbor still got to pay for that shit, right? Like, that's the thing about universal health care is it's not free, right? We're taxed to death up here. You know, I think we're paying close to 50% or so tax. And, you know, it's not all it's cracked out to be. I can tell you that much. You know, you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, I pay for my health insurance every week, but I still have to pay it every time I go to the doctor.
So, like, what have you had to pay for when you go to the doctor? What do you got to pay for? Like, what? Like,
I don't even know.
Most expensive medical bill.
Thousands of. One time, I got stitches because I cut myself at work, and I didn't want to have to take a drug test because, like we were talking earlier, I knew I would get popped for weed and I wasn't sure, like, at the time if they'd be mad or not. So I just, like, ate the cost and it was like $1,600.
For how many stitches?
It was like three in my thumb, literally, like across my knuckles.
So you paid, like, dude, four. You paid for the initial visit, you paid for three stitches. And probably any medication you needed.
I didn't get any medication. They numbed me when they gave me the stitches.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I broke my ankle and dislocated thing, I could tell you one thing. Fentanyl is a hell of a drug.
That's what they gave. My foreman's mom just had ankle surgery and she got fentanyl too. And she's like, I'm not taking that. People die from that. And he's like, Mom, it's fine.
Yeah, no, the ambulance driver, I said the same thing. He's like, can I give you fentanyl? I'm like, am I going to die from this? Are you going to OD me? And he's like, no, man. Like, yeah, it's like 30 milligrams and it's like not that much, right?
This is yeah. Doctor-controlled fentanyl. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And they were going to take – they wanted to cut my coveralls off me, right? They're starting to take this. I'm like, no, stop. Stop. I'm like, no matter how much this hurts, you're pulling that over the leg. Because that's my coveralls, my name on them, right? And I've told this story last week, and I've talked about it a couple of times, but, like, it was the most blue-collar exit you've ever seen from a hospital, right? So, like, they pulled it over the leg. And so I was leaving the hospital, and I couldn't get the pants back over the splint. So I put the coveralls back on, put my rubber boot back on, and then I got out of there, right? And it was like, man, I wish someone had taken a picture or had someone had seen it and mentioned it, or I wish I wasn't the only one who had seen it. I mean, my safety guy had seen it, so, like, he knows. But, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have a picture, but when I had to get the stitches – oh, I'm doing a thumbs up. That's cute. Oh, no. When I had to get the stitches, I – used to wear a ring to work every day, like a big, it's called Black Hills Gold jewelry. And it is like, it's sentimental to me because my grandma's from out west and that's like where it comes from. And basically it's like really sharp pointed leafy gold jewelry, like huge chunky ring. And it was on the thumb that I cut and I had to take it off what before they would do stitches. Well, and they're like, we have to cut it off. I'm like, you're not cutting it off. And they're like, well, then you have to take it off. And I had to pull it over. Mind you, my like tendon is out. I had to pull it over my thumb and stuff. They were like, you're a tough girl. And I was fine until they said that to me. And then I started crying because they called me a tough girl. I'm like, don't do that. Don't.
Oh, that's great. That's pretty funny, actually. Oh man. Like, you know what? Like, no one talks about this either. Like, you haven't had an injury where you've had to take any time off work, right?
No. No. I did get burned pretty bad, but I worked through it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course, you're a welder. Well, getting burnt is like part of the trade, right? So, I made a couple of videos the last few days on TikTok about being off and whatnot. And, you know, just, you know, I had one where I went out and bought a pair of binoculars and it's like, you know what, like I finally get to be that nosy neighbor. Right. And it's like, you know, I'll be a peeping Tom. I'll watch your whole family eat dinner. Right. And then like, I had another one there, but a couple of people commented on it. I'd be like, hey man, like, you know, I just had 10 months off work, or, you know, I just had this much time off work and, you know, it sucks and whatnot. And a lot of people talk about this. Has opened up a new side of social media for me. Right. Where, and I told my boss this, I'm like, I know you don't want me talking about it too much, but like I'm on blue collar social media, you know, and that's a part of our thing, right? You want me to like talk about the trades and blue collar and, you know, how awesome it is. Well, like, I've opened up a new side here where like, you know, this is another side to it where, you know, you were talking mental health, guys got to be off for a few months, right? You're just taking away their identity for a couple months and, you know, and healing up in the pain and, you know, how boring it is. Right. And, you know, I gotta tap into that. Right. I'm here, right. This is what I'm doing. Right. I can't make those videos on site. So I gotta be here.
Yeah.
And he's like, absolutely, I understand that. They want me to lay low about it for a little bit though. They're like, hey man, just let the panic and like the frustration of it settle down a little bit, and then, you know, but he's like, there's a lot of eyes on you, you know. You got like 200 and some odd thousand followers across the internet. Let it die down for a little bit. And I'm like, all right, fair enough, you know. So
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, having said that, we can't really tell you what you can and cannot say on your private socials. So, you know, and I'm like, no, but like, I can respect you, right? You know, like, you're my employer. I can respect. So, yeah. It's tough.
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you know what? It's got to be tough for my wife. She's been giving me piggyback rides to go to the bathroom and giving me, you know, sponge baths and stuff like that. I tried to have a shower the other day. I wrapped a garbage bag around it, tied it up, instantly got it soaked. You know, the garbage bag did nothing. So, you know, that didn't work. So, you know, I'm annoying the fuck out of her. We're only 1 week in out of six. So
quality time with the wife and family.
Here we go, right? Oh shit. No, that's good. As a woman in the trades, like, and with your platform now, you know, like what's the kind of message you're trying to get out there, you know, like what do you want to tell people, like other women who, you know, younger coming up, older, you know, trying to get into it?
I just want to tell women that they can be in the trades and they do not have to fit into a box to be in the trades. They can still be who they are. And that's what actually, like, it's really made my day. Like, I've had a couple young women like come on my podcast and like tell me, like, you've inspired me and made me realize, like, I can look how I want, like, I can be who I am and work in the trades. And we don't have to fit in a box where, you know, like, we're stereotyped a certain way, basically. Like, you can be girly still. You can have your nails done. You can like pink. You cannot like pink. You can have a full body tattoo sleeve. Like, it doesn't matter. There will be a place for you in the trades.
Speaking of nails, do you know who Mud Sleuth is? Like, Nicolette?
Yeah, yeah.
She lives not far from me. Like, she lives probably 10, 15 minutes from me. I've had her on my podcast, and, you know, she's got the nails, right? And we talked about that when she was on my podcast. It was, you know, how she takes criticism or heat for the nails, right? Or, you know, wanting to put makeup on or whatever. And it's like, you know, like me, like as a guy, you know, I show up to work one day in jeans, right? And a nicer shirt. It might get dirty. But, you know, we spend so much time on the road working and being away and not being able to, like, you know, look good, feel good, right? You come to work in jeans one day, you put them on just to feel human, right? Mm-hmm. Just to feel something other than like a robot, right?
Yeah.
And that's pretty huge, you know. Same with you, you know, like nails, makeup, you know, sometimes you just gotta feel like, you know, yourself.
Yep.
Or get lost.
If you're If you're having more women, you should look into having Morgan Bosch on.
She's Morgan on my podcast.
Have you? Okay. You guys have Morgan the same accent.
Morgan lives 15 minutes from me.
Yeah, okay. You guys have the same accent. I've had her on my podcast too. I love her. She does a lot of really great stuff for women in the trades as well.
She sure does. She has that whole Edmonton meetup for the trades in the town that we live in. Yeah. And she only lives 15 minutes from me. She's been on. She hasn't been on since she started the women blue collar meetup thing. We're waiting for her to get off night shift, actually. And when she's off night shift here in a couple of days, she's coming back on.
So. Nice. She's been on the news and everything. I'm so proud of her. She's killing it.
Morgan's amazing, you know, crane operator, you know, good shit. You know, I don't know if you know her boss and her and someone else, I think, run that Some Crane Op site or page. So, yeah. Yeah, she's good. Where can people find you if they don't know where to find you already? And where can we find your podcast?
I'm on all social media at Some Welding Girl. And my podcast is on Instagram, TikTok for the social media pages. And then we are on YouTube and Spotify, Women in Trades, the 4%.
Oh, I love that. Are you on Apple? You're not on Apple?
No, not yet. I'm an Apple hater, but I know that there's people that aren't. So, like, I'm a Spotify user personally, but I should look into it. It's a little bit more difficult to get on Apple, isn't it?
No, mine's on Apple. All you got to do is have like a cover page. And I don't know. I have an Apple account already. So I don't know. I just know, like, you know, you want to be everywhere that people can find podcasts, right? It expands here. Yeah. So get this. So Apple accounts for like 80% of my listener base or 80% of my downloads. Yeah. And 7% come from Spotify.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe I'll have to look into Apple.
Oh, you definitely got to get on Apple, right? Because what's, you know, if you don't have an Android or if you're not on Spotify, where's the next place you're going to be? You're going to be on an iPhone or on Apple, right? So it's definitely you're leaving listens and downloads on the table for sure by not being.
Yeah. I'm an Apple, like I have a MacBook and 3 iPhones, but I just use Spotify. But yeah, I'll have to look into it for sure.
Geez, 3 iPhones? Like all at the same time?
Yeah.
What are you, a drug dealer? What's going on here?
Because of all the content I create, I just fill up phones so fast.
Yes. So like before I got this phone and before like I had like 60 gigabytes of space or some shit like that on my phone. As I was creating videos, I had to delete like 10 things.
I buy the 264 gig phone.
That's what this is. Yeah. Literally. Look at you go. Like, that's badass. No, that's wow. Good for you. Good for you. It's huge.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep you too much longer there. I know it's getting late your time, but hey, it's the weekend, right?
Thank fucking God.
Thank God. Yeah, I know. And you get to spend some much needed time with the pups and whatnot. Yes,
some quality time with my dogs.
Absolutely. I don't want to keep you too much longer there. I like to wrap the podcast up by asking just one last question. And it's, you know, Mount Rushmore has 4 of the most influential people on it. And if you could have your own Mount Rushmore with 4 people that you look up to, inspire to be or that inspire you, who would they be and why?
That's really tough. Okay. I guess I would put, this is so difficult. I would put Jen Phillips because I don't know. Have you seen her work?
I have.
She deserves, with the way that she sculpts, she just deserves to be up there. Yeah. So she's like one of my blue collar Mount Rushmores. I would also put Jim Morrison from The Doors there because he has great hair and I would just love to see that. This is really like the most difficult question I've ever been asked in my life. Okay, the last two. We'll put Liv Taylor Dodge up there.
Because I'm trying to get her on the podcast. I can't get. I'm trying.
I want her to.
I'm trying so hard. She follows me on.
Instagram and TikTok. I haven't asked her. I feel like I should, but I know she's a busy girl. I just know it.
She's swamped. I'm trying. I've reached out to her a couple of times. I message her almost every day on Instagram. I sent her some emails. You know, I'm trying. I'm trying everywhere she is. That's where I want to be. You know, I'm trying to get Liv so bad, so hard, you know, like she, but she's
bad. I saw she did one, but
I think she did the Old Boy podcast.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
My last person would be Miss Welds. It's just going to be three blue collar baddies and Jim Morrison.
Oh yeah. No, that's badass. No, I like that. You know, a lot of people, you know, I asked that question too. My boss asked me that question in orientation, like fucking 8 years ago. He's like, you know what, man? He's like, everyone has one. Everyone has a Mount Rushmore, and it tells you exactly the kind of person they are. Right. And so like, when I was starting the podcast, I went to like the first like few without having that question in there. And I'm like, you know what? Like every podcast has segments to it. I've noticed, right. Mine's just shooting the shit, you know, and which is good too. And I don't plan any episode. I don't plan on what we're going to talk about. We just jump in and we talk like meeting an old friend on the street. But I'm like, let's wrap it up with something good. So I'm like, fuck it. You know what? The Mount Rushmore question. And it stumps a lot of people. You know, you spend the first like hour or so just shooting the shit and being random and joking around and not taking it seriously. And then I hit you with that and you're like, what the fuck? Right. Like,
yeah,
it makes people think. A lot of people take, you know, the way out of like, oh, you know, I don't have people I look up to. Right. And it's like, well, come on. It could be real, not real. You know, it could be dead, alive. Who cares? You know, like fucking give me something.
Something. Come on.
Just give me something. Right.
Even if you think it's stupid, just say it.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. You could be like, you know what? The Queen of England, you know?
Why not? And the Pope.
The Pope? Shout out to the Pope, you know? That guy's dying right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. When can we expect season two?
I'm planning on starting to edit it this weekend. So hopefully, like, one of these early weekends in March, it will be ready to drop.
All right. And when you do drop it, what days do you drop and at what time?
I normally drop them on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m.
That's a good time, you know? Everyone's just getting up, having their Sunday morning shit, their coffee.
Yeah, if you're cleaning. That's what a lot of girlies are like. You know, I get up in the morning and I clean on Sundays, or I listen to it, or they wait until Monday while they're at work. I hear a lot of the girls listen to it while they're at work. So
absolutely. My days are, it drops Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. And mm-hmm. the reason behind that was in the oil field, Wednesdays are a big travel day, right? So you drop it, you can listen to it that night, or it drops, you download it. It's queued up and ready to go for travel, right? So a lot of people travel hours, right? So, you know, the podcast sometimes goes for hours, sometimes an hour. Sometimes I had one that was almost three, right? So, you know, it's like, or two that were almost three. So, you know, like the most I've ever driven is like an 8 hour drive home, right? So like it's, you know, and, or if you gotta catch a plane ride, you know, and boom, it's there. So that's it's interesting connecting with other podcasters to know like the reasons behind what they do, right? Because there's always a reason for everything that happens here.
Yeah.
And I love connecting with other podcasters because, you know, you get to, you know, I'm going to hopefully, you know, extend, you know, where people can find yours. You got to get on Apple.
I'll look into it tonight.
Hell yeah.
That will be my homework for the night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Hunter, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And
you know what? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know what? I'm not a female. I could put on a wig and come on yours.
If you look pretty in a wig, you can come on my podcast.
And I can identify. That's a thing now. I can
Okay, never mind. I'm not going to say what I want to say.
Say it.
No, I'll end up so canceled.
So canceled. Yeah, I think I know where you're going. Well, thanks for coming on, Hunter. And hey, you stay frosty.
Thanks for having me.